My guest today on Salon Radio is NBC News political director Chuck Todd, who participated in a discussion on the MSNBC show Morning Joe earlier this week regarding potential torture investigations and prosecutions by the Obama Justice Department. Chuck, thanks very much for taking the time to talk to me today.
You got it, Glenn.
Now, I wanted to begin by asking you this. Discussions of torture prosecutions in the media typically focus on waterboarding, and that was true of the television segment that I just mentioned. The reality, though, is that there have been at least 100 detainees who have died in U.S. custody, many that died during or as a result of interrogations, and many of those are deaths that the U.S. government itself classifies as homicides. There have been a lot of other cases where detainees didn't die but were brutalized severely during interrogation. Eric Holder said that reading the reports of what happened there, quote, sickens him. Do you think that investigations by the Justice Department to determine if there were crimes committed, violations of our laws, either by individual interrogators or high-level policymakers in the Bush administration, is nothing but a petty, unimportant distraction from what really matters?
Well, let me, first of all, clarify for how you described the discussion on Morning Joe. I was asked a specific question about where the White House stood on this. And where the White House stands on this is my reporting. And that is what the conversation was based on. And then I was asked for why would they, what is their thinking behind this? And I was describing their thinking and the thinking behind the political thinking on this, which is that politically, these things can turn into a distraction. That doesn't mean that this stuff shouldn't be investigated. That doesn't mean whether I believe whether these things should be investigated. But as far as the discussion you're quoting, and this is where I took some issue with it, and maybe I was inartful. I wasn't trying to downplay the morality of this. Okay, what I was trying to talk about in the way the question was formed to me and what I was trying to answer it was in why is the Obama administration so hesitant?
Okay, but that
to
isn't actually
this. Now let me just finish.
Go ahead.
This point. And that is what I was trying to explain. You know, I think if you kept going in the transcript, there was another part of it where I said, look, there is going to be a greater discussion, whether it's an investigation or an examination, over the future role of where the CIA fits, how this stuff should be carried out in the future, and this seems to be what this policy review is going on between Eric Holder and between what the president ordered with his executive order on this. Now, are you saying, should there be an investigation? You know, there's an argument to be made, and in my observations, special prosecutors have become political footballs. But when you do these investigations through the normal means of how investigations should work in government, they're less likely to become political footballs. So that is, you know, look, I've, in my experience of watching the special prosecutor situation go on between over the last 20 years that I've been covering politics, that's my observation.
Well, when government officials are accused of violating the law, of committing crimes, typically, if American citizens face accusations like that, what happens is prosecutors investigate the accusations, and if they determine that there's evidence that suggests crimes were committed, they're indicted and then prosecuted. Do you think that government officials, when they're accused of committing crimes and there's evidence to suggest that they've done so, ought to be treated differently?
Nobody's suggesting they should be treated differently. A special prosecutor, by appointing a special prosecutor, you actually are automatically then treating a government official differently.
Well, the report from Newsweek was that Eric Holder was considering having a standard Justice Department prosecutor, like they did having Patrick Fitzgerald investigate the Valerie Plame matter. One of the investigators, the prosecutors mentioned, was John Durham, who's currently investigating whether crimes are committed by the CIA and destroying videotapes. That would be a standard prosecutor who would investigate whether or not crimes were committed and then have an indictment if one is warranted. There's no more special prosecutor statute that exists in the United States. We're just talking about having a standard prosecutor investigate to determine if crimes were committed. Why isn't that perfectly appropriate when accusations of this kind are made?
Nobody is saying it's not appropriate legally, but there is a political. You can't sit here and take away the political conversation and pretend it doesn't exist in this and pretend that it doesn't. It isn't a part of this. And then the other question, what I've never understood on this is,
what is that conversation? What is that political conversation that you're
– the political
you think political consideration should
– hang on.
Go ahead.
The political conversation is this. What message does that send if we have this political trial? And how do you know this won't turn into a political trial? In fact, we know it's going to turn into a political trial. I'll take that back. We don't know that it's going to turn into a political trial. That is the experience of how these things have worked in the past, is that it ends up getting turned into a political trial. And then...
What do you mean by that? What is a political trial?
Let's take this a step further. I want to ask you, because I do respect your legal mind on this. What happens when there is a... Because one of the reasonings that I hear about going through with these prosecutions is that, you know, you need to send a message to the world and to the future administrations that this is not the way, you know, the American government should conduct itself. If you have this trial and there is inevitably some appeals and some, you know, where we have a back and forth, where there is some sort of legal, where there becomes a legal debate about whether so-and-so can go on trial or not go on trial, what was allowed, well, you know, they thought that they were following the law, that they, what message does that end up sending? Does that end up harming us down the road? Do you worry about that if it's not as clean cut as it feels to you right now?
I don't know what you mean. Here's what I think about this. Here's how our system of government is supposed to work. We have laws that are enacted by the United States Congress, by the American people through their Congress, that say that if you do certain things, if you do X, Y, and Z, those are crimes. We have laws in place that say that anyone who engages in torture or who authorizes torture is committing a felony. If people do that and a prosecutor concludes that there's evidence to suggest that they've done it, there's one of two things to do. You either apply the rule of law to those government officials the way that American citizens have the law applied to them when they commit crimes, or you announce a policy the way that I think that you were suggesting on this show, and I think the transcript's pretty clear that you weren't only talking about what the Obama White House thinks, but you were describing this as being your view. That's certainly how both Mika Brzezinski and Pat Buchanan understood what you were saying, but leave that aside. The other alternative is to say that when government officials break the law, because we're afraid of political controversy or disharmony, we're not going to apply the rule of law to them. And what I don't understand is, if that's the route that you take, why would future presidents – ever feel compelled to obey the law if they know that there's going to be this great media voice saying that it's too political controversial to prosecute them? Why would any political official ever abide by the law?
But you're assuming a black and white. I mean, the whole point of those OLC memos was showing that they were getting a set of legal – that the interrogators were potentially getting a legal advice to – and in fact, what the Bush administration was trying to do was trying to find a legal way. They were trying to find a legal way. They were trying whatever, you know, which is, you know, which of course is my, as a non-lawyer, my frustration with the law sometimes is that the law isn't clear-cut. And instead, what do lawyers get paid to do? They get paid in many ways to find a legal way around to do something, to prove that some way is legal and to stretch what the law
That's not
is.
The role of Justice Department lawyers to stretch the law. The role of the president is not the client of the Justice Department lawyers. They're not there for that purpose. And if they're doing that, then they're bastardizing their duties. They're distorting the law. They're not applying the law. And so, let me ask you that then. So if a president can find, as a president always will be able to find, some low-level functionary in the Justice Department, a John Yoo, to write a memo authorizing whatever it is the president wants to do and to say that it's legal, then you think the president ought to be immune from prosecution whenever he breaks the law as long as he has a permission slip from a Justice Department lawyer? I mean, that's the argument that's being made. Don't you think that's extremely dangerous?
That could be dangerous, but let me tell you this. What is it healthy for our reputation around the world? And this, I think, is if we have do what other countries do more often than not, so-called democracies, but that struggle with their democracies, and sit there and always put the previous administration on trial. You don't think that we will start having retributions on this going forward? I mean, look, I am no way excusing torture. I'm not excusing torture, and I bristle at the attack when it comes on this specific issue, but I think the political reality in this, I understand where you're coming from, which is saying, hey, just because something's politically tough doesn't mean we shouldn't do it. That's, I don't disagree with you from 30,000 feet. and that is an idealistic view of this thing. Then you have the realistic view of how this town works and what would happen, and is it good for our reputation around the world if we're essentially putting on trial the previous administration? You know, we would look at another country doing that and say, geez, boy, this is
what do you think what happens? Why I think that what has destroyed our reputation is announcing to the world that we tolerate torture and telling the world
we also had an election. Well, this was an issue. You have a new president who came in there and has said, we are not going to torture, we're going to do this, and we're going to do this, we're going to do this.
What do you think should happen when
presidents break the law? Is that not enough?
Well, when generally, if I go out and rob a bank tomorrow, what happens to me is not that I lose an election. What happens to me is that I go to prison. So what do you think should happen when presidents get caught committing crimes in office? What do you think ought to happen?
This is where this is not – you cannot sit here and say this is as legally black and white as a bank robbery because – this puts an ideological, legal.
100 people died in detention. 100 people. The U.S. government admits that there are homicides that took place during interrogations. Waterboarding and these other techniques are things that the United States has always prosecuted as torture. Until, John, you wrote that memo, where was the lack of clarity about whether or not these things were illegal? Where did that lack of clarity or debate exist? They found some right-wing ideologues in the Justice Department to say that this was okay. That's what you're endorsing. As long as the president can do that, he's above the law. And I don't see how you can say that you're doing anything other than endorsing a system of lawlessness where the president is free to break the law.
Look, I don't believe I'm endorsing a system of lawlessness. I'm trying to put in the reality that as much as that there is a legal black and white here, there is a political reality that clouds this, and you know it does too.
How can a political controversy? I thought the whole point of having a Justice Department in a civilized country was that it's supposed to be immune from political considerations. Wasn't that the whole lesson of the Alberto Gonzalez era, that when Eric Holder sits down as the Attorney General, the Chief Law Enforcement Officer of the United States, he makes decisions based on legal factors as to whether crimes are committed, not based on political factors of the kind that MSNBC likes to talk about? Isn't that how our justice system is supposed to work?
Of course, on the 30,000 feet level, it is supposed to work that way. But if you ever taken a look at let's just go with this Justice Department thing here, because the president just nominated himself or doing political fair. The minute you are a political appointee, it is hard to sit here and say that you somehow have eliminated politics from the equation. Look at the U.S. attorney thing. What did we find out during this whole U.S. attorney scandal? There was no doubt the previous White House, was trying to play politics with its U.S. attorney selections. That has been proven. Except what did we also find out? It was perfectly legal. Now, this was a case of where you're mixing the politics, and look, President Obama now is nominating U.S. attorneys, some of whom are political favors.
Well, what was perfectly legal? Firing prosecutors who either prosecuted Republicans or refused to prosecute Democrats?
It turned out it was
legal?
Perfectly legal.
Who said
because
that?
Because they served
who
at
said
the
that?
Pleasure
said
of
they
the
were,
president.
But there's
they
laws,
served at the pleasure of the president.
John, first of all, the question of whether or not crimes were committed in the U.S. attorney's case is still a pending matter before several federal courts.
And I believe there are, it should
and
be investigated.
There are laws in place that say that it is a crime to obstruct prosecutions for political reasons. If Karl Rove is in the White House directing that prosecutors who prosecute Republicans or who refuse to prosecute Democrats be fired, that is a crime. That's not –
No, wait. Now you're conflating what I said. What I'm saying is that the aspect that he could just that the White House could just fire U.S. attorneys at will, that was perfectly legal.
The question is whether they fire them at a time when it is
being investigated and should be investigated.
And if there are crimes that are committed,
I think more in the legal community, you know, this issue of U.S. attorneys being political appointees is probably something that needs to be taken up. Because I think it's fraught with peril and fraught with the potential for abuse.
Let me ask you this question. The United States is a party to a treaty. I don't know if you've ever read it or not. It's called the Convention Against Torture. And one of the things it does is it obligates all signatories to that treaty to prosecute any acts of torture. And it was signed by Ronald Reagan in 1988, and when he transmitted that treaty to the Senate explaining what that treaty does, he wrote, quote, "Each state party is required either to prosecute torturers who are found in its territory or to extradite them to other countries for prosecution." Do you think the U.S. should be bound – is bound by that treaty? And I want to ask you the question about whether or not we follow that treaty. Why do you describe that as nothing more than, quote, cable catnip?
All right. The cable catnip comment is this. This issue, whenever you see the words Cheney and intelligence pop up, and when I use the phrase cable catnip, it is when something becomes where the two polarized parts of our political society are very entrenched in their views on this and believe the other side is completely irrational on it. Whenever you have an issue like that, and that's what I describe as cable catnip.
Okay, but
because it becomes something that becomes easy to put on television, because you can find a left versus right, which is something that cable embraces to a fault. And I know, I'm in this business, but I work my butt off trying to stay out of the left versus right fights and try to stay analytical and stay on the reporting end of things. And so that's when I describe an issue as cable catnip. I am not sitting here and saying, I mean, what, and like I said, and I respect the passion on this, and I don't want to somehow sit here saying that they, you know, whether on the right I've been accused of saying somehow, assuming that our national security is nothing more than cable catnip, or that, you know, the torture of detainees is somehow relegating cable catnip. That is not what I'm describing when I say cable catnip. But I want to put that aside. To go back to your question, of course, we should be above any treaty we sign. The United States government is obligated to sign by it. Now, the controversy has been, and what we're trying to figure out, and I think where the Justice Department is trying to figure out, and where this whole debate has been about, is whether they found a legal way to somehow abide by this treaty or not.
And
isn't
the best thing to do to say, to immunize that question from political considerations and say to a prosecutor, the way that we do with every other accusation of crime, take a look at the pure legal issues here, ask, were crimes committed? Is this the kind of case that indictments are appropriate for, where people should be put on trial, and then just have this be treated like every other accusation of crime, which is the prosecutor takes a look?
Glenn, in a perfect world, yes. And if you could also guarantee me that this wouldn't become a show trial and wouldn't be put and created so that we had nightly debates about it, that is the ideal way to handle this.
Why not? What's wrong with nightly debates about whether our government committed crimes?
Because then it becomes – then you do politicize the issue to the point of where you won't – you know, I mean, look at the fact is public opinion was on the side – was on the opposite side of you on this. That doesn't mean public opinion should.
That's not really true. The polls are very mixed, and lots of polls show more than 50% of the people want investigation and prosecution.
Depends on how you ask the question.
The question of whether you prosecute crimes isn't dependent in any way on whether or not public opinion thinks that you ought to.
Public opinion has been the way I've been able. I think I've been able to interpret this is that the public is against torture. The public doesn't want the U.S. reputation shattered around the world, and they also want to sweep it under the rug.
Well, I mean, there's just polls I've never seen a poll where less than 40% of the American public say they want investigations and prosecutions. Many polls, including ones by the Washington Post and the New York Times and others, show that more than 50% want investigations and prosecutions. But let me ask you this question, and I just have a couple more questions, and I appreciate this time. You just referenced earlier that you think that this has become cable catnip because it's an entrenched partisan debate between the hard left or between the left and the right. About a month ago, you created a little controversy because you said about the question about whether there should be investigations about the release of the OLC memos. You said, quote, "Frankly, this feels like a political food fight right now, the hard left, the hard right fighting over this in the blogosphere." some of the people who have called for investigations and prosecutions of Bush-era torture crimes include people like Jesse Ventura, the former independent governor of Minnesota, Philip Delico, the former aide to Condoleezza Rice. Four-star General Barry McCaffrey said on MSNBC, actually, that numerous detainees were, quote, murdered in custody, and that there's no way we can not have criminal investigations. General Antonio Taguba, who investigated the Abu Ghraib crimes, said, quote, there is no longer any doubt as to whether the current administration has committed war crimes. The only question that remains to be answered is whether those who ordered the use of torture will be held to account. Same with Lawrence Wilkerson, the former chief of staff to Colin Powell, Thomas Pickering and William Sessions, former Reagan administration officials, on and on, wrote an op-ed in the Washington Post calling for investigations. I mean, the idea that this is something, that the idea that the rule of law, that holding our high government officials to accountability when they commit crimes is a hard left versus a hard right or a partisan debate, isn't that really just an invention of cable news for exactly the reason that you said, which is that's how cable news typically understands things, even when that's not really what the debate is?
Well, look, and that is my frustration on this very issue, is that I don't think it can, and this is why when I said, how should this be handled? And how should this be investigated? If you could guarantee me that we could keep this debate off of television and keep it off of being an ideological, because these are, and I mean, this was an ideological. When you read those OLC memos, I was struck by this fact, and that was that the Bush White House was looking for a legal way to do this. They were trying to legally justify what they were doing and what their policy was. Which then, if that is the case, then, you know, then you're going to have an ideological split. And frankly, you and I both know you're going to find judges that end up falling on both sides of this issue. Now, does that mean that there shouldn't be investigations as to how these detainees died in custody? Of course there should be investigations. That's what makes the American form of justice held to a higher standard.
And what should be done if those investigations reveal that there were crimes that were committed?
Well, look, that's up to the Justice Department. You know, I mean, I know you have strong feelings about this. I am trying, honestly, very hard not to put my personal feelings on this specific issue into it. I am trying to deal in the analysis of why, for instance, the Obama White House doesn't want this. They don't want to have this debate, even if they passionately feel, as many do, about what might have happened.
Well, it's not surprising.
Because,
it's not surprising.
Frankly,
it's
worry,
not surprising.
It
was, but it's not surprising, is it, that current presidents would like to keep in place this prohibition that we have against presidents and high government officials being prosecuted for crimes. That would make sense, right? I mean, if I were a White House official, I would love that rule that White House officials don't get prosecuted for crimes.
Now you're getting to – this has always been something that I've been – it was not to go off on a sidebar here, but I've been waiting for somebody during the campaign to ask both candidates, because both of them, in the general election and, frankly, and during the primary with then-Senator Clinton, all said that that the Bush administration tried too hard to expand executive powers. And then you would say, okay, which executive powers are you willing to give up? And none of them would actually say which executive powers, because once you're president, you don't want to give up any of your powers.
Okay, but no, that's true. Now, let me ask you this last question. If you read the founders, especially Thomas Jefferson, who was the principal advocate for the First Amendment, but others as well, talk about the reason why a free press was important. What they say is that the reason why a free press was so important was because it was going to be one of the most important adversarial checks against government and political power, that specifically they would lead the way in demanding that there be investigations and accountability for wrongdoing in political office. Not that they would be the spokespeople for why government officials didn't want investigations.
This is what's frustrating. Now, because I offer political analysis on why, explaining a White House political decision on why they're hesitant on going and calling for more investigations on this issue. doesn't, then you can't sit there and make me a spokesperson for this. And this is where I get.
But you did, Chuck. But that's not what you. But Chuck, seriously, this is what you said. You said the only important thing the president has to focus on is getting the public's trust in the economy. Cheney, the CIA, and in some respects Sotomayor are cable catnip. And then Mika asked you this question: is this much ado about nothing to get the attention off what needs to be done? She didn't ask you, does Obama think that? She asked you, is this much ado about nothing to get the attention off what needs to be done? And Pat Buchanan said, well, it's exactly what Chuck said. It's a massive distraction. And then you then said, I think that the problem here is that lawyers are meant to stretch things. This would be a very dangerous slope. This is a very dangerous aspect to go after. And then you ended by saying, I'm sure there are legal minds that will fight and say, I don't know what I'm talking about here, but it seems to me this is a legal and political slippery slope. You were describing your opinion. You even described it that way. You said, I'm sure there are legal minds that will say, I, Chuck Todd, don't know what I'm talking about. You were clearly advocating the idea that this would be a distraction from the things that matter. Not that just Obama and Rahm Emanuel think that, but that you.
Fine, but I was also explaining what that was, and so I absolutely should have framed it differently and explained. But I was trying to explain why this is something that they don't want in the public. You know, eating up the public's time on this.
Right, is it your job as a journalist? Who cares what they want? I mean, it's fine for you to report what they want. That makes sense. But in addition to simply repeating what it is or describing mm-hmm. what it is that they want, is it your job as a journalist, as Thomas Jefferson and the founder said, to lead the way in demanding that there be transparency, accountability, and investigations of government officials when they're accused of wrongdoing? Is that your role?
Look, I believe I have a couple of roles. Of course, number one is to hold government officials accountable, but also report on what they're trying to do, what the motivations are behind what they're trying to do, why they're doing certain things. I mean, the question that I ask every day is why on something, you know, if they're, you know, why are they proposing X or why are they doing this? And I also think part of my job is to explain the why to the best of my ability. In this case, obviously, you don't like that's not the right terminology. You object to the why there, and I did a poor job of explaining the why, but you know I will continue to explain the situation in this respect, and that is the political climate makes it very difficult for this White House to want to call for this, because I think that they worry about this turning into an ideological fight that distracts their own supporters' attention from what they want them to be focused on, which is healthcare and the economy and other things going forward.
Fair enough. And I think that the major problem that a lot of people had, I know that I had with that discussion, was that everybody was on board with the idea. Certainly, Pat Buchanan and Mika were on board with the idea that investigations are a distraction from what really matters. You were at the very
Let me just finish.
I think the problem was is that if you read the entire discussion, and the part that you said about reform of the CIA didn't actually happen in that discussion. I think you're thinking about another one. But be that as it may.
Fair enough.
The principal argument of those of us who want investigations and prosecutions is that our justice system ends up being perverted, and it's a very dangerous thing if we have this idea that presidents can break the law and then for political reasons shouldn't be treated like everybody else. That is a very dangerous idea that we've accepted since Ford pardoned Nixon, since the Iran-Contra criminals were pardoned, that if there's an accusation, a credible accusation that laws are broken, it's vital that the prosecutors in the Justice Department treat it like any other case and indict if indictments are warranted, because it's so dangerous to create this two-tiered system of justice. And I just think that – I'm not saying you should be an advocate for that view, although I think the founders thought journalists should be. But even if you don't think so, that view has to be articulated every time there's a discussion about whether or not prosecutions are
warranted. You get to a bigger problem here. I don't disagree with you with this issue, that ever since the Nixon situation, that we have gotten into this situation where investigations into government officials have become politicized in some form or another. Investigators are politicized in what they're doing, or it gets politicized from the outside by.
Well, I don't agree with that. That's your point. My point is there is a fatigue,
and you could sit here and say, you know what, that's exactly what's wrong with the Beltway. But there has been a fatigue about it because the use of the of prosecutions on this front has been too politicized, to the point where I think it has made it's unfortunately too easy to dismiss an investigation.
And as a result, politicians,
I don't disagree with your conclusion.
They know that they can break the law and get away with it because there is that quote-unquote fatigue, that dislike, that dissatisfaction, that contempt for holding political officials accountable in Washington, because these are the people that you go to work and see every day, and it's unpleasant when they're having to respond to subpoenas and go to court and be accused of criminal wrongdoing. And that's why the political class typically insists that politicians not be subjected to the criminal process, and they know that they can break the law and get away with it for exactly that reason. And I think that's a huge problem.
Well, I mean, look, I think the problem, though, sits not with the media in this respect. And this is what frustrates me a little bit, is that the problem, you know, the people you should be upset with are the folks on the Hill, the folks in the White House, the folks at the Justice Department. Those are the ones who have the power of the subpoena and the power to do these things, not the media. I know we get beaten up about it, but the power does lie in Congress, and the power does lie in the Justice Department.
Agreed, and that's why I think that's the appropriate place for these investigations and prosecutions to take place, is in the Justice Department. That's why I'm in favor of what the shareholder is about to do. But anyway, Chuck, unless you want to add something, I honestly think it's been a interesting discussion.
I agree. I wish you'd called me first. I mean, I hear you on the train, you know, that's where you want to go, but, you know, wish you'd called me first on that front. But beyond that, because I respect your work so much, that's why I reached out, and I appreciate you.
I appreciate you taking the time, Chuck.